Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo-hoo! All right. Happy Memorial Day weekend,
yay, everybody.
Hope you're ready for a fantastic 3-day weekend. I would think, Key, and you tell me, I would think if you had $175 million to spend over a 3-day weekend, that would be a good thing. But according to some rumors out there, Dak Prescott says, uh-uh. Now, let's start with this. The Cowboys and Dak Prescott, through Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, said that there, no such offer has been made. But there is a report out there, a rumor out there, that a 5-year, $175 million deal was thrown at Dak Prescott, and they said no. What the hell is going on? Because that seems like it would make him the highest paid quarterback in the history of the NFL. He's next. All of the things, the boxes that needed to be checked have been checked, and yet it's still not done. What's happening?
Well, I'm more inclined to believe that Prescott's camp and Jerry Jones's camp when they're saying that that's not true, that offer's not made. Now, you know, it's a hot button topic. And if they say that no offer was ever made, then it's probably true. There's probably no $175 million offer ever made. So whoever made it up, and it's a rumor that's out there. But I'm more inclined to believe that because at the 175 mark, being the highest paid in all of the different things in NFL history, you got your headlines, you got everything you need. You're not going to set the benchmark to the point where it's going to stand anyway. So if they're offering $175 million, he would probably wind up taking that deal. Okay, now that it's being said that that's not the case, I'm more believing that in Jerry Jones' side with them not making that particular offer because it sounds foolish to continue to keep going on and on and on when that money is on the table. And you would have to think that if they're giving you a total of $175 million, it's got to be north of $130 fully guaranteed. So it would be foolish for him to not take it.
There's a lot of reasons, though, that both sides would say it's not happening, right? I mean, they both have a reason to deny it, even if it's true.
No, because
this is the step, right, Keith? No. The step is they start leaking stuff out there saying, look, this is what we're trying to offer this guy, and he's saying no. And then when somebody wants it officially, they're going to deny it. But now the pressure's on Dak Prescott to take the 175, because if he says no, it's a terrible look.
Yeah, but it ain't that number. And the reason I know it ain't the number is because the Cowboys would say they would double down and say that they offered him that. They now, once people try to confirm it with the Cowboys wouldn't issue a statement denying it. They're not going. They would certainly say, we made him a second offer, we made him a third offer. They may not give you the full numbers, but they would say, we certainly sent him an offer to back him up in a corner. Because if you both come out and deny it, now he could push the envelope and go beyond the 175 because they both denied it. So now he could say, well, I won 190.
I just never have seen something like this before. And maybe I'm forgetting something, but I don't recall a situation where your franchise quarterback who's this young and your team is this talented can't get paid and have this thing already squashed. We've been talking about this for over a year now. Over a year.
With the assumption it was imminent to happen, too,
yes,
and it's not.
Yes, and I used to make the joke. Remember, I used to always joke, it's disrespectful. And now it's to the point where not only is it disrespectful, it's head-scratching. Like, I'm just wondering, is there something personal
well,
now? Like,
no, what's going on? They're going to give him the money, man. He's going to get paid.
Man, it's been a year, Key. You've been saying that.
It's going to happen. Same thing I said about Ezekiel Elliott. It's going to happen.
But you said, the same thing about Cam Newton.
Cam Newton is going to happen, too.
No.
These things take time.
You said, ain't no way. No, Josh Allen's taking his role. He's going to get $100 million contract.
But ain't no way. Josh Allen didn't take his role. Cam was hurt.
Kyle Allen didn't take his role.
He was getting ready to sign like an extension.
He was going to sign the extension, and then they decided to go in another direction and get the money to Teddy Bridgewater. And a new coach came in.
And so here we are. I'm sitting here like going, it's been over a year. You're still talking about this. You done went and signed a guy who was just a starter last season. Like, what the hell's going on?
Well, here, let me offer this as an explanation as to could it not be, Ozzy, you just said he's a franchise quarterback. It's gotten personal. I want to push back on both those things. Number one, is he a franchise quarterback? The numbers say that he is not. He's won one playoff game. His record against good teams is abysmal. He's 5-13 over teams that have won 10 or more games. And maybe it's not personal. Maybe let's play this out. Let's say that offer is real, that the 5-175 was made and that he denied it. At some point, Jerry Jones is thinking, look, buddy, and that is setting the market. I'm giving you a nine-figure deal that is guaranteed. You've won one playoff game. I'm done here. That's not disrespectful. That's just making a decision that I'm not paying a guy that hasn't given me all that much.
Well, that look, he's given him a lot. He's given him a lot, though. I mean, when you talk about the way that he's played, how he's played, when he's played, not having Ezekiel Elliott at times, being suspended, just doing some of the things that he's been capable of doing throughout his career, he's a young quarterback that's certainly trending upward. He's not trending down, okay? Yes, you look at him and you go to yourself, okay, what is he? But if they was telling you that he was great, you'd start to believe it. The problem with it is people start telling you he's not good. Oh, he's not good, he's not good. And that something like I talked about yesterday. Once they start trying to set this narrative about who you are as a player, it catches on to everybody, and everybody starts diving in and saying the same thing. When a dude makes some crazy throws, he gets out of trouble, he drops him on a dime, and people say, oh, man, he missed that throw. Yeah, he might have missed that one, but so did this dude, who y'all claiming is the best to ever do it. I mean, like, it's crazy to me that everybody's against his style of play and him being one of the better quarterbacks in the league and trying to boost up everybody else. Carson Wentz is not as good as Dak Prescott, in my opinion.
That's right, and that's not the point, Key. I agree with you on that. The point is he's negotiating like he's Aaron Rodgers and not one of the young upcoming quarterbacks. I agree that his better years are probably ahead of him. I don't disagree. I agree that he has a case to be paid more than the Carson Wentzes and the Jared Goffs. There's an argument to be made there. But he's staking out a position, at least if the five-year 175 is true, that he's saying, never mind Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. I'm Tom Brady. I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm one of those guys, and you need to pay me like one of those guys when he clearly is not that.
Well, when the owner of the team or the team itself says that they didn't make that type of offer and his agent saying they didn't make that type of offer, then I'm inclined to believe them because the agent certainly would say, yeah, but that's not enough. They need to do this, that, and the other. And Jerry and his staff would certainly say, well, we made him another offer and may not give you the numbers. It doesn't seem like that is the case. His deal will eventually get done. Okay, they're not trading him. They're not letting him go. They're not cutting him. They're going to take it all the way to the end into July. And if he doesn't sign before the end, they'll just wait and see what he signs. I mean, wait to see if he signs a franchise tag. And if he doesn't sign a franchise tag, then he'll be a Le'Veon Bell. And then where would his market be?
It's just so baffling. That's all. You know, Travis, you can certainly find numbers to make him seem like he's not a franchise QB. We can also find numbers to make him seem like he's the future of the NFL. But at the end of the day, they're the ones that have had this guy for X number of seasons. They see what he's capable of. They know how young he is. He's never gotten in trouble. The worst thing he's done, as far as I can tell, is be accused of hosting 100 people in his house for a party or whatever the ridiculous number was. He's a good guy and a safe bet. And why there is hesitation on this front, or a debate still a year later after this conversation got started, is really baffling to me because I can't recall a time in which someone with that kind of resume had to wait as a starting QB. Other positions, yes, but as a starting QB, typically they just don't play around like that.
Well, the market continues to change, and as the market continues to change, you're going to have these issues. Patrick Mahomes last year going into the Super Bowl was public. Lamar Hunt Jr., I think it was, the Kansas City Chiefs owner at the time, or is at the time, or maybe it was a son or some one of the Hunts said, we're not interested in addressing Patrick Mahomes' contract anytime soon. And even after the fact, we're not addressing Patrick Mahomes' contract anytime soon. So he, too, is in a wait-and-see position when he typically, right now, in the fourth year, going into a fifth-year situation, they tend to renegotiate and extend guys like Patrick Mahomes. He ain't got no extension either, okay? And the owner came out and said such that he's not even interested in talking about an extension right now. What do you say about that?
Patrick Mahomes is a good case, Key, because if he were staking out a position where he wanted $190 million, everybody goes, yeah, okay, yeah, I get it. He's an MVP, he's a Super Bowl winner, et cetera, et cetera. And LZ, like you said, this isn't a – Dak Prescott isn't a good player. He is a good player, but he's not that. He's not that. And so this idea that Jerry
Jones –
he is
if they want to pay him.
The idea that Jerry Jones is holding this up out of some sort of personal disconnect or frustration or whatever it might be, it could just be a look. I'm willing to pay you. I'm willing to pay you, make you the highest paid guy. It's more than Goff. It's more than Wentz. But we're not getting crazy here. You're my guy, but you're not my guy like Patrick Mahomes is the Chiefs guy.
Well, right. he is, though.
He's not.
He's not.
He is, though.
He's not.
He is.
No,
he is. He's their starting quarterback, man.
But not like their starting quarterback. But not like that, dude.
He's their starting QB. It's his turn. There's nothing you can do.
That's like saying that the guy that's singing in the bar is the same as Bono. Because they have the same job. I mean,
Bono's the lead singer of U2. He's really popular. So.
That's why I picked Bono. Key and Bono.
Why don't you go
boys.
Watch his documentary?
They're boys. I hear what you're saying. They're both starting quarterbacks in the league. But Patrick Mahomes has already proven himself to be special.
Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl and an MVP and was on the verge of winning a second Super Bowl and a second MVP. Look, Dak Prescott is his turn. His numbers are going to be where the numbers are going to be. At the end of the day, his deal is going to get done. The Dallas Cowboys are not playing the season without him underneath the center. No matter when the deal gets done, it's going to get done. Just because we're fascinated that it's taking so long, deals take a while when certain sides are trying to establish something. And I've been saying this for the longest. He's going to get his money. Just like I said, Zeke. Should Zeke go to Cabo? Should he hold out? Man, it don't matter what he do. They going to pay him. They're going to give him his money.
When would you have to – like, give me a date. Give me a time on the calendar.
I'd like to have him ready for training camp. I'd like to have him in for training camp. I think it's July – what day? July 15th, 16th, I think, is the deadline for the franchise tag to be signed.
Right.
So he's got a month and a half. He's got a month and a half, you know, to sign the franchise tag or get a deal done before it moves to the next step. And it's not going to get there. It's just not going to get there. You know, they got six, 7 weeks to go.
So Andy Dalton's not loosening up his arm right now. He's still sitting there going, I know this thing's getting done. I don't need to worry about this. Number four is going to be there. I'm just going to – if he gets hit, I'll go in. But otherwise, he's our guy. He's not even in the back of his mind thinking, I need to be ready.
Well, he can't think – he's going to always have to think get ready because he's his backup quarterback. But in terms of Dak Prescott is not going to sit up and allow Andy Dalton to come in and lead the charge while you sitting on the sideline messing around with a contract, and all of a sudden Andy Dalton is 6-0, 5-1, and they rolling. You know what that'll do? You know what that'll do to his value next time around? He ain't getting ready to do. They're not going to. First of all, his agents ain't gonna let him play it that close. Well, all of a sudden Andy Dalton, because if for all intents and purposes,
couldn't he play it on the Andy tag Dalton, though? Because he's still making a ton of dough with that. Come in on a tag, make your $32 million or whatever.
If you want to take that risk and keep playing for a tag versus, I'm not playing for $31 million when you got $135 million and $140 million on the table for me. I'm not doing that. That's stupid. I'm not doing the sign the tag when you got the difference is there was no contract offered to Kirk Cousins. Mm. That's the difference. There was zero contracts ever offered to Kirk Cousins that made any sense. They basically franchised him for the $27 million and said, we'll give you a 5-year deal for $40 million. Do you want that? And he said, no, I'd rather just take this. So 100 plus guaranteed versus 31. You take the 31 and something happened to you, now what?
You're out 69, right? you just messed off $69 million. That's what. So I mean, look, you don't have to convince me. I would have said if there's 175, 135, or whatever it is, I'm all in. The question, why isn't it done? What are the real numbers? I guess Dak's waiting to find out. All right. First Fight Club here at the station. Fight Island, I should say. Now Sedano brought us up in a parallel universe. What's going on here at 710? That's next on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN.
You do understand the Greg Bergman dude is on the list. You do understand that. He don't realize what he just did to himself. He don't realize what he just did to himself. He all cute, got his new little office, so he tough now. Okay. You got the wrong guy, buddy.
Are you not humble? Are you humble now, then, you're saying?
You got the wrong guy. I ain't never not been humble. I've been humble my whole life. But he's much like the rest of them that's out there. They want to try to paint you a certain way. See, he's much like the rest of them. They want to try to paint you a certain way. He should go get into journalism and not sit behind glass windows pushing buttons. Because that's exactly what he's doing. You're trying to set a narrative, okay? That's a certain thing. I can't help it if I'm the only dude on the show that ever played in the pros. And the questions are asked of me and I talk about it.
Just for the record. Keith, just for the record, you're saying you don't need a parallel universe, an alternate universe. You are a humble person now, and you have been your whole life.
It's my world, and Bergman is on the list.
I want to know what the list. I want to know how long the list is. Who else is on it? How do you get off of it?
Put it this way. When he reaches out and gets silent treatment, he'll know.
Oh.
See, I'm going to go MJ Kobe on him now.
Oh, you're the guy that when you're upset, you just cut off all communication. That's it.
You're not going to have it out. I don't need to talk. I don't need to. He'll get it. He'll understand. He'll ask y'all, what did I do wrong? Y'all will say, I don't know.
Why is that the part that bothers you so much and you being called the Clark Kent in a suit doesn't?
Because Clark Kent in a suit doesn't bother me because I ain't no black Supermans flying in the air anyway. So,
well, there's no. Can you get off the list, Key? Is it possible to want Jerron to get off?
He's dead to me. He's toast. He doesn't even understand what he just did to himself. That's okay, though. It's fun. It's cute. But, again, it's my world. That's fine. It's all good.
Humble Key.
Well, I can't wait for him to text me. Hey, can you do this? Like, hey, Raj, did Key change his number?
You mean like USC did when they were trying to reach you and you wouldn't return and I had to get it?
Did he change his number?
I can't get a hold of him. Stop being that way.
Man, you bring up USC, Raj. Mike Bone, new USC AD, who we at least think is trying to figure out the culture of the USC football program. Jorge, he was on with Paul Feinbaum the other day, and he says that people in California are being portrayed unfairly about our lack of enthusiasm for football. Let's take a listen.
Every day brings more good news, and it fuels our optimism. You know, so there's no reason why we wouldn't continue preparing as though we'll have a full football season this fall. And that's certainly subject to change based on new information from our health experts. And to me, that's what effective leaders do. They adapt and they learn new information and really follow that as their guide in decision making. And as I said, every day our hope meter seems to go up every day.
There's the difference right there. What Mike Bone said is perfectly reasonable and measured. And look, what leaders do is we have
like an AD, though.
Right. But the difference is those guys down in the SEC and other places say, oh, we're going to play football. We're going to figure it out. It may be a little different. It may be a little different schedule. It may be this. It may be that. But we're going to play football. You're not hearing that from him. This is, we'd like to play. We've got contingencies in place. But that in and of itself is the difference that we've been talking about. This, we're going to have it no matter what versus we're going to try to have it. It's totally different.
It's a different message the way it's been. Dang,
man, more shredded wheat. He's got the shredded wheat.
The shredded wheat,
what, so why do you keep eating shredded wheat 4 hours later, man? Like, what are you doing?
198.
Get some Cheerios or something, man.
Yeah, man, you eat. You can get the same fibers from Cheerios that you get from shredded wheat.
It's so addictive. I can't stop chewing it.
Come on.
And then, like, I get like one or two that won't go down, and I won't know it until it's too late. And then I start coughing it up.
Your mother better not have bought that cereal for you. I know that much. But anyway, you're right, Travis, in terms of
good source of fiber.
The approach that the Pac-12 conference and the ADs are taking versus the Big Ten or the ACC or even the SEC, where they're taking a different approach. Their approach is, yo, we got a 100,000 seat stadium, like Gene Smith said, the athletic director of the Ohio State Buckeyes. We got a 100,000+ seat stadium, but we trying to get it between 20,000 to 50,000 in here so we can get going.
Right.
Versus, well, you know, we're gonna serve.
We're gonna try
on it and listen to the health experts, make a move. No. We're setting up for our guys to get in the building so we can get back to work and stay ready. I mean, that's a different. It's a different approach, and he wants to know why people think that the Pac-12 and out west really don't care a whole lot about football. Well, it's not that they don't. It's not that people think that, they see that. Okay, I've been here my whole life, in the SEC, in certain parts of the ACC, in certain parts of the Big Ten. That's all it is. That's all they care about. Okay, we have other agendas, and it's okay not to put everything in one basket in sports and this, that, and the other, and focus in on some education and some of the other things that's going on. But if you think about it and you go back to the glory days, the Pete Carroll days, when they was rolling, that's all it was football. Yeah, they was graduating and going to school, but it was breathe, eat, sleep football. Breathe, eat, sleep football. When John Wooden was playing basketball at his heyday with Sam the Bagman helping get the players in there, you know, all they knew was hoops, national championship, education, cool, we're going to get it, but we're going to hoops, championships, that's what we, Final Fours, that's what we're doing. That is what we are doing. And that is the way Oregon is right now. They're breathing and eating football. They get some graduations, whatever, that's cool, but they're taking – Cristobal has taken a mentality from the South at Alabama, okay, University of Miami, and has brought it to Oregon. Big, fast, strong, hungry football. We ain't backing down from nobody. And look at them. They're constantly in the Final Four conversation. They've won the Pac-12. They've gone on to the Rose Bowl. They're beating people in recruiting. Well, we got this soft approach, and that's not going to work. And I understand you don't want to step out there and put your neck out too far, but step up to the plate. Say something positive that makes people juices flow, not this, oh, you know, we're going to certainly try. You know, come on, man. Stop that.
Everybody's in different places, though, Key. Every region of the country's in different places. You can be bullish if your numbers are a certain place, but if your numbers aren't a certain place, then you will be foolish and not bullish. And I think that overall, though, is part of this conversation that doesn't get talked about enough. And that is, in some parts of the country, Key and Travis, you can be more bullish about professional sports and maybe getting 30,000 people in the stands. But in other parts of the country, that isn't prudent.
We know that you got to approach everything with caution. We know that the health officials and the science people have to give us the green light. We already know all of that.
That's a prerequisite.
We already know this.
I understand that.
Making it seem like it ain't getting ready to happen. You have allowed the door to open up to be criticized by Feinbaum, to be criticized by others, like they're coming in, like they're coming in and laying down the roots of the Pac-12 conference to shift all of our players, get them to go to other teams because the other teams and cities and states and colleges are ready to go while we are in the back seat instead of the front seat. That's the difference.
I know the difference, Keith. What I don't like is this notion that being smart is soft.
Well, okay.
If your region of the country is in a different place than another region of the country, it's not soft to be aware of that. It's not soft.
But, LZ, is there not something for the messaging, though? Because if Mike Bone's messaging was, look, we're going to play football. Absolutely.
We're going to play football.
And here, you know what I would have loved to have heard? I can't wait to play Alabama. We've been waiting for this game for years.
Exactly.
I can't wait to get out there against Alabama. And if it didn't happen, it would be a disaster. That's what we're listening for. That's what I want to hear. That's not being soft. That's not saying that things can't come up and the schedule may be thrown in, out of whack. But, hey, look, we're going to do everything we can to get this done.
There you go.
We want to play Alabama. We've been circling this date for 2 years getting ready for it. It's going to be the kickoff of SC 3.0 or whatever it is. Not, we'd really like to play. The messaging is very different.
Ready to go. When I get the green light, these Trojans will be ready to go. Period.
There you go. Lance Armstrong, Doc, is coming up on Sunday. Why do some cheaters get a different reception than others? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Give me another name on the list, yeah, Key. Sure. If Bergman's on the list, I want one more person that's on it.
It's pretty long, man. I gotta think through it a minute. It's a couple guys that's on it. That's just guys, not anybody you would know.
Okay.
But he's on the list for sure. I mean, oh yeah, he real cute. He want to send the notion that I'm not humble. Oh, humble. Oh, okay. You real tough now. You got out of that little cubicle over there in that room with Raj. It was so bad, your shoulder was to the door, not your back or your face. Now you got a room where your face is facing the door. You got a room now. You ain't got a cubicle.
Well,
you done moved up, so you real tough. You know, you want to talk on the radio now.
Since he's the management now, he's had enough of this chit-chat, and later on in the show, you might hear him join and kind of tell you why you need to be humble. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Greg has earned the right to defend himself.
He got glass on the door now. I can see him when I walk down the hall.
Okay. Yeah. I reached out to him and he said, hey, it is what it is. You have a reputation and he wants to,
like I said, he just
ooh,
like
Key, you've got a reputation too. I like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. He shut the door. I still see him. Got glass on the door. You moving on up. You closer to Amanda now. Uh-huh. You pushing buttons.
All right, so coming up on Sunday, we're going to get the Lance Armstrong doc, part one. It's a two-parter about Lance Armstrong. And LZ, you mentioned this earlier this morning when we were having our conversation before the show, just the different receptions that different people get having done more or less the same thing, and that's violate the rules of their sport. Lance Armstrong was doping and won all those races. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, and a whole bunch of other guys took a bunch of substances that were against the rules, hit a whole bunch of home runs. We treat them differently. And it's different how we treat Lance Armstrong to steroid guys, to Ben Johnson, to all the – why do we have degrees of cheating? Why do we have that, oh, this guy's cheating isn't as bad as that guy's cheating? They all broke the rules.
I think it starts with the relationship with the media. You know, whether it's a beat reporter, local media, national media parachutes in, they can always get you because you're always responsive to their request. And so there's a different feeling about you. Barry Bonds may never get in the Hall of Fame because the media didn't think he was warm and fuzzy and squishy, right? He's known for being, cantankerous. Now, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think he had a bad attitude towards some people in the media. It was just the wrong people who had too much juice and set the narrative. But nonetheless, the narrative is there. So his cheating is viewed as, unforgivable. Whereas some of the other guys, in the exact same era, they get a little bit more warm and fuzzy treatment, like Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire gets a more warm and fuzzy sort of approach in terms of his cheating than Barry Bonds.
But did Mark McGwire, and I don't remember it like it was yesterday, but I feel like there's certain guys that gave you some sort of attrition. Some. May not all the way, but they gave you a little bit that made you feel like, okay. Where Barry didn't do it at all.
Still hasn't.
It hasn't. Roger Clemens at all. Right. But when you get some of them that was like, well, I did it because my elbow was sore. And it's like, okay, well, he gave us a little bit, so whatever, we'll erase some of that. And I think that's where you come from it. Where Lance Armstrong kind of dope, cheated, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know the way that he's viewed because I would think that he's not hated at the level that maybe Bonds is, but he's not forgiven the way that some of the other ones have been. So he's kind of in between and in the middle.
Well, Armstrong is a different case than a lot of these other guys because Armstrong not only cheated his sport, Armstrong, I think, cheated a lot of people. And maybe not that he took something from them. In some cases, we can argue, and we'll get to that in a second, about what he did to other people's lives. But I think people looked at Lance Armstrong and thought that he was this beacon of strength in the middle of the cancer fight and that this was the guy that was going to find our way to curing this disease, that Lance Armstrong was raising hundreds of millions of dollars for cancer research. People were buying the bracelets. People were using Lance Armstrong as an example of what we can do if you put your mind to it, if you believe in all of these things. And then you find out that the guy was taking God knows what to win all these races, and you felt like you've been ripped off personally, that Barry Bonds hit a bunch of home runs. If I'm Hank Aaron, I'm pissed off about it. If I'm one of those guys that had my record broken by a guy taking some stuff, that would bother me. But I don't – Travis Rogers, I don't feel like Barry Bonds ripped me off. I'm not going to lie. I liked watching the home runs. It was fun to watch the ball fly into the water. It was not a personal affront to me. It was an affront to baseball, but it didn't bother me personally. Whereas what Lance Armstrong was doing hurt people collectively because we were all buying it, literally buying into it with the Livestrong thing.
Yeah, and that's what I would say. I would say that he did it to hurt. I mean, he hurt a lot of different people at different levels. You know, from the bracelets to, you know, the research to just continuing flat out lying. There was other people's careers that were involved in it. Where Barry Bonds is the only guy who hurt himself. I mean, that's essentially what happened with him and Roger Clemens and any of the other guys that did or did not claim they did or did not. They were hurting themselves and not others. And
look at Alex Rodriguez.
Draw the line at. Well, Alex Rodriguez, he came up with something, though, right?
But Alex Rodriguez has never come out and said, I did this.
No,
this,
but he came up with something that kind of led you to believe he did it for something other than getting ahead in the sport.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. Right? I mean, you can believe what you want to believe.
No, but he crafted
a good message.
He did craft a good, but this is the point. Like, why is Alex Rodriguez? Because, look, Alex Rodriguez, I think he could make a pretty decent argument, is one of the most popular baseball players still, and he hasn't played in a long time because he's transformed. He went from the guy that was pretty much universally unliked to a guy that's pretty much universally regarded as a pretty good guy. And we like listening to him on Sunday Night Baseball, that we like Alex Rodriguez, whereas Barry Bonds, you look at him, you're like, oh, that guy. Lance Armstrong, oh, that guy. There's some guys that can never, ever shake it, and some other guys that can walk away from it.
Because I told you in the beginning, Travis, because they're giving you something that makes you feel like, okay, there's some attrition, a little bit, just a little bit of attrition that's there. Just a little, not saying that they wipe it, the slate clean, but it's like your kid who does something and he says, Dad, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm sorry. You're like, okay, cool. That's what they kind of giving you opposed to, I didn't eat your sandwich. And you know damn well you got the mustard on the left cheek. And he looking right in your face and he telling you he didn't touch it. Meanwhile, turkey sandwich story. Who ate the sandwich? I don't know, but he got the right there, the mayonnaise. Right there.
All right. Dave Roberts is coming up about 25 minutes from right now. But coming up next, take it or shake it. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, Key, let's start with an NFL topic. Aaron Donald says that you have to have fans in the stands for the energy, for the boost that it gives the defense. NFL football will be different without fans because of the lack of energy. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, shake it all around.
I think it'll be different for the viewer in terms of the eyes, but as far as the players go on the field, I think the players will give the same energy, the same intensity that they would normally give because of the coaches, the players on the sideline, and the friends on the other sideline. It's the cheering. When you make a play, it's celebrating. You know, Aaron Donald's going to put his hand on the ground. He's going to turn the corner. He's going to sack the quarterback. And his teammates are still going to high-five. And they're still going to jump on it. They're still going to say things that you don't necessarily want to hear in live television, but you will hear some things. They're going to have to figure some stuff out. But it's going to be the same. I mean, it's still – because the trash talk going to be even more. The trash talk is going to be even more in professional sports in general, especially in basketball and in football, because there will be no crowd. So you have to do something to get yourself and your juices flowing.
There's going to have to be some mental gymnastics going on, because I get it that you need to push yourself, that you need to find it inside, you need to trick yourself. But it when you got 80,000 people screaming at the top of the lungs, and that's what you're the environment that you've been playing in for years and years and years, and all of a sudden you can hear the guy talking to his girlfriend on the other side of the building, that's going to be a different dynamic.
Yeah, no, that's yeah, it is. But again, you're going to have to do, as you said, some mental gymnastics to kind of play with your mind and be able to say, you know what, this is what I'm getting ready to do. I'm getting ready to turn the corner on this dude. I'm getting ready to run a nice route on him and break him all the way down, and then I'm going to let him know right after. Right
okay,
after
let's, that. Let's move on to the next one here. Here's Stephen A. talking about how the NBA does not have to have all 30 of its teams return to play when they relaunch the season.
If we're talking truly about safety, then why would we have unnecessary individuals involved in the process? There are at least 12 teams that have no business even being thought about this time of year. They'd have been home anyway. I mean, where were they going? I mean, come April, they were going to be home. We are now in the May. They would have been home watching anyway. We ain't going to miss them.
The NBA should return with only playoff teams. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
All right. Indeed. What about the rest of them?
Nah, go home, man. San Antonio, or Sacramento, or give me a bad team out the East.
Pick one.
Charlotte.
Like, come on, man. We can't give MJ. We can't do MJ a favor just because we love this documentary. We can't all of a sudden just, you know, because they're gonna be home anyway. Well, let's just hypothetically assume that everybody break down in the East and Charlotte stays healthy and they run the table. Mm. Like, come on, do you really want that?
But do you want the chance to see LeBron James face Lonzo Ball and Zion Williamson? Because that's the other scenario. Is that
where were they out? They were on the outside looking
in. Had the season played out, they may have been able to actually catch Memphis and got that eighth spot.
They're on the outside looking in, all right?
Yeah, but not by much.
But they're on the outside looking in, right?
Three and a half games. They're three and a half games out of the spot.
Are they on the outside looking in? Yes, they are.
Yes, we said
so leave their ass on the outside. Well, go ahead, LZ. Put Sacramento in then.
No.
There's another route, and it's what the NHL has proposed, which is a play-in tournament because there's still games left that could have impacted the seeding in the playoffs.
No.
There's this side of it too. You're gonna have to have something. You're gonna have to have some games that are not playoff games prior to relaunching this thing, right? Whether they're scrimmages or almost like a preseason, you're going to have to go out there and play a little basketball. We can't just go to camp, practice, get ready, and then say, okay, here's game one of the first round of the playoffs. There's going to have to be something there. Maybe those teams could fill that role to be, I don't want to, you know, almost like Washington Generals. Yes.
If I'm the New Orleans Pelicans, either these games count or they don't. Because I'm not risking Zoe and Zion to go out there and play in games that won't matter. Now, if you're saying we play in five games and they're going to count and there's a chance that we can catch Memphis and make the playoffs, now I'm interested. But if you just want me to be a punching bag to get other teams warmed up for a championship run, I'm not going to do that.
Let me ask you this, man. If you're talking about New Orleans and playing against LeBron and them, why? For what? For who? because of TV. Intrigue, because TV. Of TV.
TV.
Intrigue and TV. Yep.
TV.
I don't necessarily think that it matters who the Lakers play in the playoffs. The ratings are going to still be high because of AD and LeBron. So I don't care.
No, you're wrong.
Okay,
you're wrong,
well,
man.
Then I'll be wrong. I'll be wrong. I just know the power. I just know the power that number 23 has. That's all.
The amount of hype there will be for that series will be bonkers.
I understand that it's going to be hype. It's not going to be so significant that it's going to be a huge number from 1 to 25. It's not going to be like that, LZ. You're not going to sit here and try to convince me other than that.
I don't need to convince
it's just
you.
Not.
Look at the
it's
NCAA
not.
Tournament.
It,
Zion
it does,
plays.
I
it's
get
all
it,
you
but was
about.
It no LeBron James in the NCAA tournament, man?
I'm
Stop.
Talking about the presence of Zion Williamson, man.
His presence ain't the same as when LeBron is on the court. LeBron's presence is on the with or without Zion. People tuning in for LeBron. If you look at when LeBron numbers when he wasn't in the finals, what those final numbers were like in the Golden State Warriors was playing with Hall of Famers. So stop.
I know. I said that to you yesterday. I know those numbers. My point being is this: Zion Williamson is a movement. He's
Nobody's
the
saying
of the
that
league.
He's not a good player,
and
he has snack, crackle, pop. We're not saying that. What
so
I'm saying is people
James
are going to watch
future.
LeBron James regardless. The numbers are going to be high. I don't want to see no damn ball in Zion. They ain't in the playoffs. Don't put them in.
All right, let's move on to the next one here, guys. Let's.
We're moving on. Didn't you hear Travis?
We're coming back to this. We're going to come back to this.
All right, we will definitely come back to it. Let's go back to the NFL. Here's Will Cain saying that Tom Brady's impact in Tampa will be greater than Phillip Rivers in Indy.
I don't know what you believe Tom Brady will do next year in Tampa Bay. I don't know if you believe he'll pass for 30 touchdowns or throw for 4,000 yards, but I think that you gotta believe he's not gonna turn the ball over 42 times. For a defense that's underrated and improving, having spent top 3 round draft picks all over that defense, defensive line, linebacker, safety, over the last 3 years, having just drafted Tristan Wirfs and Antoine Winfield, having an amazing set of weapons, perhaps the best in the NFL. You can take all of that, or you can just simply say, hey, will Tom Brady put his team behind the eight ball 2.5 times per game? I think you and I both know the answer to that is no. And because of that, he'll have a bigger impact on the success of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers than Phillip Rivers will have on the success of the Indianapolis Colts in 2020.
Brady will have a bigger impact than Rivers. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it all around.
I don't think he'll have a bigger impact. I think they'll be pretty much even. I think Phillip Rivers gives exactly what Indianapolis needed in a quarterback that is a veteran guy who understands Frank Reich's system, who has some pieces around him with a terrific offensive line. Remember, that offense was built for Andrew Luck, and Jacoby Brissett was given the keys to the car, didn't crash it, didn't burn it, didn't make it explode. What he did was scratch the paint a few times and got a few dents, and they got tired of going to the insurance company to fix it. So they decided that they're going to do a complete overhaul and trade that in and get a new car and give it to Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers is going to do just fine. Same thing with Tom Brady. We
Phillip
all
Rivers
know that
did
Tom,
explode the car last year.
Yeah,
Phillip
but that,
Rivers did get an accident.
There's no question about that. But I think with Frank Wright, and I think in this situation, he'll do a good job, and he'll be even with Brady as far as the impact to the team. Of course Brady's not going to have turn the ball over 42 times, fumble here. It's not in his DNA. He's not going to do that. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're going into the NFC Championship game and going to the Super Bowl. That's not what it means. His team will improve on the turnover margin. There's no question about it. He will impact some things. There's no question about it. He gives them a couple more wins because of that. And let's see what happens, because the NFC, let alone the NFC South division, is going to be tough. It's going to be tough. You're in there with Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Brees. It's not going to be easy.
All right, Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, scheduled to join us at 8:05. You're going to definitely want to hear that. That is coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.